A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. St. Paul's two letters to the Thessalonians were all about their worries about the imminence of death and how they are supposed to live in the present. St. Paul spends his entire first letter more or less responding to that. He says, "Be thankful at every moment in every distress and affliction. Live standing firm in the Lord." Jesus takes up the same issues about how we're to live, not knowing the day or the hour. His imperative is stay awake, for you don't know on which day your Lord will come. And he makes it very simple for us to live in the present as if that's the day that the Lord himself is coming. He talks about a wise and faithful servant, a faithful and prudent steward. He says this is one who thinks that his house could be broken into at any time, so he's always ready. Someone who is always working as if the master is about to return. Not with dread, not afraid that the master's going to surprise him, but out of love, doing precisely what the master had asked him to do at that moment. If he does, then he's got nothing to be worried about. You know, there's a great joke about Pope Paul VI, who was not much of a joker, that when someone asked him, "What would you do if you knew the Lord was coming today?" he said, "Look busy." But basically doing my job. I mean, not just have the appearances of faking as if he's working hard, but actually working hard. Using that day to do things for God and for others, to love. The idiot is the one who thinks that the Lord's not going to come until he sends me various notices so that I have the ability to make a good general confession, so that I have the ability to say sorry to everybody I've ever wronged, so that I have the ability to say I love you to everyone I should have said those words to but didn't. The idiot is the one who thinks that they're always going to have all that time. The wise person is the one who recognizes today may be my last day. I'm going to do it now. We have a great example of this faithful and prudent servant in the saint the church celebrates today, St. Louis the Great, the King of France, who not only was a very faithful steward with regard to the temporalities of the Kingdom of France, but also with regard to the spiritual treasures. Today is one of the 2 days where I think we have the most touching parts of the Office of Readings. One is when St. Aloysius Gonzaga, on June 21st, writes a letter to his mom as he's about to die. And today we have the letter of St. Louis after he was wounded in a battle against the Muslims, wrote his spiritual testament to his son. It's very brief, but it describes the type of faithful steward St. Louis was and that he was asking his son, who would rule after him, to be and become. And those words can also apply to us. First thing for which he needs to be a faithful and prudent steward is his relationship with God. And that's why he began his letter by saying, "My dearest son, my first instruction is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength. Without this, there's no salvation. The first thing for which we need to be responsible is our divine filiation, to love God like a beloved son. Keep yourself, my son, he went on, from everything that you know displeases God. That is to say, from every mortal sin. The idiot in the parable thinks that God's far off. Yeah, I'll commit these mortal sins and I'll have plenty of time to go to confession and be forgiven. St. Louis was saying, keep yourself from everything that displeases God. You should permit yourself to be tormented by every kind of martyrdom before you would allow yourself to commit a mortal sin, before you'd have an impure thought that you'd engage, before you'd say an angry word, before you'd fail to forgive, before you'd contemplate missing a Mass on a holy day of obligation. To suffer every type of martyrdom before that, that's the first thing we need to be a good and faithful steward of. The second that we need to be a good and faithful steward is of the cross. That the cross is our caresses, ultimately to help us to become more and more like Jesus. And so we shouldn't neglect them. We shouldn't bury those crosses under the ground. We should profit from them. That's why he went on to say, if the Lord has permitted you to have some trial, bear it willingly and with gratitude, considering that it has happened for your good, and perhaps you well deserved it. That we should be good stewards of the crosses that God has given us, thinking that that might be approximate preparation to meet the Lord. Third, if we've been given the blessings of this world, he teaches his son and us how to profit from them as well and be good and faithful stewards. If the Lord bestows upon you any kind of prosperity, thank him humbly. So thanksgiving's always first. And see that you become no worse for it, either through vain pride or anything else, because you ought not to oppose God or offend him in the matter of his gifts. That all the blessings that God's given us, we need to be able to be thankful for, that we need to use for his kingdom. Then he talks about prayer, to be faithful stewards of prayer. Listen to the divine office, he says, with pleasure and devotion. As long as you are in church, be careful not to let your eyes wander and not to speak empty words, but pray to the Lord devoutly, either aloud or with the interior prayer of the heart, to recognize that this is a time which is a treasure, and this might be the last opportunity we have to pray. So let's pray as well as we ever have prayed, begging the Holy Spirit for the grace to be fully attentive. Then he talked about charity and how we need to be stewards of those who are in need. He said, be kind-hearted to the poor, the unfortunate, and the afflicted. Not just give something. Be kind-hearted. Really love them with the kindness from within, not just putting some money into their hands. Have genuine compassion. Give them as much help and consolation as you can. Thank God for all the benefits he has bestowed upon you, that you may be worthy to receive greater. Be just to your subjects, swaying neither to the right nor the left, but holding the line of justice. Always side with the poor rather than with the rich until you're certain of the truth. To make sure you defend those who are needy, because often they're trampled upon. Always seek the truth, but make sure that you defend the rights of those who could be taken advantage of. Protect them. Be a good steward, a faithful steward of those that the Lord has entrusted to your care and your protection. See that all your subjects live in justice and peace, but especially those who have ecclesiastical rank and belong to the religious orders. That they are supposed to be good men, and you have a responsibility to make sure they're good men too, living the way that they ought to. And the last thing about which he instructs his son to be a good and faithful steward is in his relationship with the church Jesus founded. You know, on Sunday, we had that great passage in which Peter confessed Jesus to be the Messiah and Son of God, and Jesus confessed Simon, son of Jonah, to be the rock on whom he would build his church. Pope Benedict at World Youth Day spoke specifically about how this means we can't just have an individual relationship with the Lord Jesus. That if we confess Jesus, Messiah, and Lord, and he confesses Peter, the rock on whom he will build his church, then we must live in the church. We must love the church, just as Christ loved the church and laid himself down to make her holy. And that's why in his last instruction, St. Louis says to his son, be devout and obedient to our mother, the Church of Rome, and to the Supreme Pontiff as your spiritual father. Work to remove all sin from your land, particularly blasphemies and heresies, that you have that role to work for the church, not just to delegate it to the Pope and the bishops, but to work yourself so that people might know the truth, believe the truth, and live the truth. How much we need to be wise and faithful stewards in all of these ways. And the treasure of our relationship as beautiful sons and daughters of God, a relationship with the crosses, with the blessings, with the poor and the needy, with the church. St. Louis ends his short letter with a prayer for his son. We ask him to intercede before the throne that we might receive these same blessings today. He says, in conclusion, dearest son, I give you every blessing that a father can give a son. May the three persons of the Blessed Trinity and all the saints protect you from every evil. And may the Lord give you the grace to do his will so that he may be served and honored through you, that in the next life we may together come to see him, to love him, and to praise him without end.